At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 39.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about me, please feel free to check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have my very, very dear friend, Jonathan Bullock. Jonathan is known for his roles as Cthulhu in The Legend of the Winged Guardian, Captain Rogers in Starfighter Origins, as well as Badlands Vulcan and Galactic Void Chernabog in the game Smite. In addition to his numerous game and TV titles, Jonathan is also a coach specializing in vocal and career classes, and a demo producer. In this episode, we talk about acting delivery styles, the mind of a demo producer, and how small changes can make a big impact.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
Good to have you, man. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yeah, I've got most of my voiceover done for the day, so got a nice little break going on.
What were you working on today?
I had some narration stuff. I had some industrial projects as well that I was working on. But other than that, yeah.
Gotcha. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Actually, I don't like coffee. I've tried to like it, but I just cannot bring myself to.
Well, how do you start your day? How does the day of Jonathan Bullock, voice actor, like start off?
Gotcha. So generally I'll wake up in the morning, and a couple of my clients reach out to me through Facebook, usually around 10 in the morning. They're like, hey, can you get this back to us by such and such? So I'll, you know, have some water, do some warm-ups, and pretty much hop right into it.
Fantastic. So what is your, like, Genesis origin story? How did you get started in the world of VO?
Okay, yeah. So it's a little random. I'm not sure if you remember who Masako X was. He was part of Team 4-Star, Dragon Ball Z, Abridged, and all that. About 10 or 11 years ago, he was posting some videos to his YouTube channel. I was like, oh, this guy's cool. He does voiceover. That seems, you know, like a pretty interesting career. His videos are funny. Let's check this out. So it was four videos on his blip.tv page on how to do voiceover, how to change your tone, pitch differences, character differences, stuff like that. And I watched them all, and I found it really intriguing. I was like, I could totally do this. So back in the good old days of the Voice Acting Alliance, I, you know, made my account on there, started to find some little fan projects, started auditioning for those. My very first audition I ever did was actually a live audition, because I was like, I don't know if I'm good enough to record on my own. So I figured, being an introvert, you know what, let's just throw myself right into the middle of it and just talk to people directly. So my first audition, I had live direction, and, you know, I was just starting this as a hobby. I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, maybe I can make some like abridged videos or voices and something like that. And so I auditioned for this person. They're like, wow, how long have you been doing this? You're really good. I'm like, oh, 2 days. And so that was really encouraging. And so I just stuck with it.
Do you think there was any like prior training that you did before that kind of gave you that actor's intuition? Because I've noticed that with a lot of people, where whether it's just mimicking things on TV to taking theater classes, like there's a lot of different ways where people build this intuition to where even when they begin in voiceover, even on their first day behind the mic, it just starts to like come naturally.
Right. Yeah, I didn't take any theater classes. In high school, I didn't do a whole lot of anything except AP classes. But my senior year, I decided, you know what? My friend's been wanting me to do marching band with them. So I joined that and I was like, huh, that's kind of fun. Maybe I could try, you know, theater. It's my last year. No one's going to remember this. No one's going to, you know, think I'm stupid for doing this. So
right.
I happened to do the first play the school was doing with their new director, and their new director was, I think he came from Broadway or maybe off Broadway to come teach. And so the first show we did was Kiss Me, Kate. And that's how I, you know, discovered a love for musicals. And I started doing, you know, theater after that. But I really hadn't had any experience besides that.
So have you done any musicals since you started your VO venture?
Yeah, I've done a few. I think I started doing them. I graduated 2011 from high school, and I think in about 2013, maybe 2014, I found a community theater group that I did, 3 or 4 shows with. My last one with them was Oklahoma, okay, which was a lot of fun. And we did, there's this one scene in Oklahoma where there's basically the whole show is about the farmers versus like the ranchers and like cattle and stuff. And so there's this one scene where they all get into a fight. And so, you know, after doing 3 or 4 of these shows, we're, you know, maybe not taking it as seriously as we could have. And so all the fights and stuff were choreographed. So it's like, oh, throw a punch to the right of them, left of them, blah, blah, blah. And there's that whole thing. And so someone came up with the idea, you know what, guys? What if we just, like, it's a second to last show. Why don't we just dogpile? So everyone's like doing this, the first part of the fight, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And someone from the back yells, "Dog pile!" So boom, 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 boom. And that was a really fun show. And then after that, I did the Virginia premiere of Newsies, which was my first professional show about 3 years ago.
Do you have a video copy of the dog pile for me to put into the show notes?
Dude, I wish I had a copy of that. In fact, I believe they filmed some of them, but they did not get that one.
Gotcha. So how do you feel like your career has progressed? Like, you went from doing little fan-made stuff. Like, what's the bulk of your work these days? Because I know you do a good bit of video game work. You do at least, what, like 2 or 3 major video games a year. So where does the bulk of your work come from?
Honestly, I have one very consistent client who sends me stuff daily, like maybe 3 or 4 projects a day. So they keep me pretty busy, so much so that I, you know, don't do a whole lot of marketing so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just got a new agent today. Actually, now that I think about it.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But most of that work is like industrial narration, like, hello, we're a company, we make things, we have good service. And then I have the other side of things is, you know, more commercial side. And I've done stuff with Circle K, I've done Bojangles, Virginia Lottery, IKEA, that was a fun one. Just a whole bunch of random stuff. And every once in a while, you know, I'll get a really fun character role to work on. Of course, I'd, you know, love to work primarily in animation / video games. But since I'm still on the East Coast currently, I'm not exactly in that sphere as much as I'd like.
Well, I mean, with the way the world has changed now, a lot of doors have like opened up. Have you thought of like auditioning or reaching out to the studios on the West Coast?
No, I emailed Formosa. I've emailed a good chunk of them, which I haven't heard back from them. But from what I hear about Formosa, it's mostly referral based.
Right.
So, but you know, I'd love being Genshin Impact.
This is true. So, with your love for animation and video games, I named off some of the characters that you're quote unquote well known for. But what were like some of your favorite characters to play? Whether it was just a really fun character, or when you right when you got that script, you're like, oh no, this is me. Like, this is my character.
So the first Smite role I got, which was for a Vulcan skin, which is Badlands Vulcan, the audition direction was, you know, give us Mad Max, sandy, rough, guttural. And, you know, I didn't usually get cast for that at the time. And so, you know, I was trying, I was like, I'm angry, bah. And so I was like, you know, I can do a lot better than this. So I, you know, threw my entire self at it. And I was like, if I don't get this, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, this is the top tier of my work quality at the time. And I did, I got it, and I was really excited and shocked to get something. That was one of my first mid to high level games that I worked on.
So you also do a good bit of both vocal and business coaching. How did you start the coaching journey in your career?
So I've since I've been doing this for 10 years, I kind of forgot how much stuff I actually know. And so, you know, I was talking to like a couple people who are, you know, newer in the industry, and I was, you know, just throwing out this advice, and I was like, that's solid. You know, I guess I know more than I thought I did. This is just this basic stuff that kind of just you gloss over
Right.
that, you know, people who don't have a background in it, or like no radio history or anything like that, wouldn't know, like technique, stereotypically like how a bunch of commercials and shows, acting styles and pacing and stuff, like, you know, you have the difference between, let's say, Kingdom Hearts delivery versus let's say Dragon Prince, which is an animated show on Netflix, I believe. It's same group that work on Avatar, I believe.
It sure is.
And Dragon Prince is actually a show that I recommend my students go through if they're wanting to get a better grasp of character, because it's got this nice, almost theater-esque balance of, you know, realistic delivery, but with interest, you know what I mean? And so I just started on this one website that is like a hub for teachers of different stuff. And so I just had people start reaching out to me. It's like, hey, I'm really interested in this. How do I get started? And then I'll, you know, have an hour-long Zoom session with people and get started, kind of figure out what they're wanting to get out of everything, where they want to be. And I just finished, not super long ago, my first student's commercial demo, and I'm very, very proud of them. They worked really hard to get that out.
Awesome. So, what are some of the basic fundamentals that you teach that you think vetted voiceover artists just kind of like gloss over because it becomes second nature?
Something that probably gets forgotten as you know, get into character work would be just having different, the same delivery with different sound. So, like, saying something like, the king is dead, which is, you know, a pretty flat delivery, versus, and, you know, it's not kind of a nondescript, kind of like probably would be like an extra kind of voice, versus using like an A sound or E sound, O sound, I sound, U sound, to change the character just like a slight way. So you have, if you're using like an I sound, like the king is dead, you'd have a kind of a prissy kind of, trying to be elegant, maybe a kind of suck up character, versus if you're using something, doing it with an like O sound, you might have like a general or soldier or something strong, like the king is dead, stuff like that. And then when it comes to commercial, pretty much just being aware of the different genres of delivery. Like, for instance, you're not going to say, let's see, some kind of emotional line with, let's see, let's say Pampers.
Right.
You're not going to say Pampers, pamper the skin they're in, and have it be, you know, too light and peppy. For, you know, for most taglines, you're going to want something either emotional in some way or have that authenticity in there. So like, you'd want something more like Pampers, pamper the skin they're in, you know?
Right. You want more of that emotional feeling. But yeah, no, I'm a big fan of authentic reads, especially nowadays with the millennial buyer's market that we're now living in. Because I mean, millennials can smell bullshit a mile away, and we're over that hard sell, come and get this now, except for like the radio.
Unless you're a car dealership.
Right, unless you're a car dealership, or like most radio commercials where the same radio guy is doing it over and over and over again. A lot of newer commercials are more of that, here's the information, here's how we're going to present it, buy it or don't buy it, but here's how we feel about it, and here's how we authentically feel about this product. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, how did you get into demo production?
Demo production, I've actually worked on demos for quite a bit. I started out, you know, I made my first demo in 2013, started in 2011 when I started feeling confident. It's like, you know what, my voice is, I'm happy with my voice. Let's see, you know, what I can do with it. I need to use this so I can audition for stuff or get into these talent pools. Back when most of the talent pools now, like Sound Cadence, Kocha, Extra Terrible, stuff like that, they have a lot higher and stricter standards versus back when things were first starting out. But I made two demos in 2013, two demos in 2015, and then someone I knew who was already doing voiceover and mostly fan projects, but an indie game from here and there, was like, hey, this company really wants a demo. Could you help? I know you've made your own demos. And I was like, sure. So I, you know, wrote it, went over it with them. Do you like this spot? Do you think this sounds good? And I usually try to keep a pretty consistent group of reads. Like, you're gonna have your emotional outburst or like grief, maybe some kind of burly creature if you're a guy, or maybe something cutesy if you're a girl, something military, something more animated and energetic, and then I usually add some kind of battle yell or like a spell in there for fun. I like trying to tell a story through the demo. In fact, speaking of stories through demo, if you've ever heard Ben Diskin's demo, at least his old one that they had on CESD, his entire demo was him speaking to himself as different characters. And so he'd do the entire line up to the last word, and then the last word would start a new character. And it was like a 3-minute demo of just like each one completely different. I was like, so that was really interesting to hear.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's him and Bryce Papenbrook. Maybe it's just Bryce. I think it might have been just Bryce. But I remember I interviewed Bryce a long time ago, or someone I know did with me. And he was talking about how when his parents were working, because his dad was a voice actor, his agent was like, hey, let me know when your son's ready to do this and we'll sign him. So, jeez. Born into it.
Right. Absolutely. So how do you feel like your demo production has grown over the years? Could there have been, there obviously have to have been some things that you've learned new as you're doing it, just like any field. So what are some of the things, the do's and don'ts that you've learned over the past couple of years?
Sure. For me, it's mostly about just knowing what goes with what kind of spot. Mm-hmm. I like to write to the music, so it seems like it's almost cinematic in a way. Even though music's usually put in after, mm-hmm. And then writing off of that mood and energy in the music helps a lot. I graduated with a degree in audio and video production. Mm-hmm. So that certainly helped, you know, just getting to know EQ and stuff like that. And just knowing what to alter and how to make the vocals stand out from the music more, like, you know, panning to two tracks to left and right, and then one center, which makes the voice stand out a whole lot more and doesn't get, you know, lost in the music track.
Gotcha. Okay. And so going back onto the big and burly side, I know you and I were just in a class together where we were going over different creature and monster noises and things of that nature. What are some different things that you have learned to kind of save your throat when it comes to bigger and deeper characters?
I personally try to keep the vibration of it at a lower level. Mm-hmm. And not throw myself into it as deep as I used to. I used to be like, let's blast it, 100% power, let's go. But you can't do that, one, for
then
very long.
You wake up the next morning, you can't do an e-learning module, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that was something I had to relearn a good couple of years ago. I was like, oh, maybe I'm trying too hard. So, but yeah, I would definitely recommend Michael Schwable's class for, you know, I believe he calls it extreme vocals and, mm-hmm. and creatures. He has done just tons of deeper just creature voices. He did.
He voiced over 200 creatures in one video game.
Yeah, I actually played, what's the name of the thing? The Spire? Slay the Spire. A couple days ago, and it was interesting to, you know, hear him, knowing that was him, because mm-hmm. I had no idea. And I believe his wife's also like a vocal teacher or coach, so okay. They've got, you know, their background in it, so they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. It's just a process. I mean, you can take all the classes in the world, but you got to do a lot of experimentation on your own.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's voice is different.
Yeah. Even when I was a kid, like I used to try to make impressions of like cartoon characters and stuff like that. And I didn't think much of it. And eventually I stopped once I became like a teenager. Mm. And the first character that I learned an impression for coming back to voiceover was Roxas from Kingdom Hearts 2. And I was like, oh, you know, my impression's pretty close. So I did tons of Roxas content for a while. And it's really interesting how, you know, things come together. I found out like 2 or 3 years into voiceover that I'm actually adopted, and I found out my birth mother also does voiceover.
Really?
And I had no idea. And I met her a couple years after I found that out, and, you know, just talked about stuff for like a long time. She, you know, pushed me to get my first commercial demo, and she's really like supported me through this. And she's been really great.
That's awesome. So what are some of the biggest things that you've learned over the past couple of years in voiceover? Because everybody just has different things that they end up taking home with them, whether it's focusing on the community of voiceover or how they've grown audio engineering wise. What are some of the biggest things that have helped impact you and grow you in your career?
Sure. A lot of self exploration and experimentation, as I said earlier, trying to find out what your voice can do, and how to make small changes, and pretty much just not worrying so hard about where you are currently with your, you know, career progress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not comparing yourself to others, because, you know, everyone's journey is going to be different to get there. Some people get there within a year. Some people it takes a really long time. And it's all just about consistency. And, you know, there is some truth to, you know, you have to make your own path and make your own, like, career decisions.
Right.
But I think it's really important to really get involved in the community and, you know, make friends. I mean, it's you can bounce ideas off people. You can do a lot of, like, fun practices. You can go over scripts, share, you know, agents that you're with that you think that would be a good fit for, you know, other people that you know. And something that I saw a bit ago on Twitter that's really different about the voiceover community versus, say, like, live action acting community, mm-hmm. or is that actors remember, or voice actors remember where they came from. And so a lot of them are really willing to kind of, the term they use was send the elevator back down. And just make opportunities for, you know, new blood to make it, to have a chance. But it's also very important to stick to what you believe and not, you know, make compromises just to be a cool or, like, accepted, because you're going to find that people, when, you know, when you're making friends, you're going to want that authentic, real connection and friendship, friendships that you're going to make. And without having some vulnerability and openness to others, you're not going to be where you want to be. You're not going to have that community that you want. So it's really important to make good friends and, you know, stick to them and just be loyal and, you know, honestly, be happy for people, not be jealous, and, you know, celebrate other people's success.
Yeah, no, you were my idea bouncer, what, like 3 or 4 years ago when I first jumped into this game? Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you could go back in time to before you started voiceover and you could write a message to yourself and then send it back, what would you go and tell yourself?
Don't. No, I'm just kidding. No, honestly, what I would say is try to take it a bit more seriously and take critiques in an open-minded way. Don't get so stuck on one particular idea for a character, because there's an unlimited amount of choices you can make per character. And the greatest tip that helped me a lot was about conversational reads. And I talked to Matt Curtis about this, who works with J. Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does their animation demo department.
Correct, yeah. And I was just bouncing ideas. I was like, hey, what's your, like, idea of a conversational read? Because I had gotten lost in this really bad habit of making it almost film-like in dryness. Mm-hmm. And so when they ask in these audition emails, no announcers, they're just saying, don't give us any Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. They just want something that's right. Like, yeah, Jif peanut butter. You know, I take care of my kids. They want something casual, not something so real that it's boring.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really important, a really important thing to know, because I feel like a lot of people do get stuck in there because it is so unclear what the conversational read is. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important thing to be aware of. And it applies to character work, commercial work, everything, really. So, also, I probably would have encouraged myself to buy a booth a lot sooner. Because that would have pushed me harder to take it seriously sooner.
Gotcha. So where can people find you in all of your glory?
Okay. I am on Twitter at John David Talent. I have LinkedIn, which is Jonathan Bullock VoiceOver. Then I have my website, www.jonathanbullockvo.com. And I've got, you know, my resume on there. I've got my demos, and yeah, I'm really proud of my website. I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really well done.
Thanks.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on the show. This has been a blast, dude.
Awesome. It's been fun. Thanks.
And then this is where I go on the pre-recorded. I really hope you enjoyed listening to Jonathan talk about blah, 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 blah. If you'd like to know more information, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, this has been a blast.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's fun.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Jonathan's perspective on how throwing yourself into your career and putting the work into your craft every day can open doors you never could have imagined possible. If you'd like to know more about him and his work, you can visit him at www.jonathanbullockvo.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.